Hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. Coming up later on in the program, a look at some of the most recently released DVDs and Blu-rays, plus the new theatrical release, Drive, starring Ryan Gosling. But right now, on the musical portion of the program, we're spotlighting the music of a very fine composer who we don't hear from too often these days. That would be Mr. Bill Conti, perhaps best known as the composer of the Rocky theme, and we'll be featuring that on the show, in addition to a wide variety of other music written by Mr. Conti. Always known for his memorable melodies, he has a striking style of orchestration, and usually fun stuff when Mr. Conti steps up to the plate to score a film. We'll begin, of course, with some of his iconic music from Sylvester Stallone's Rocky franchise. Let's take a listen to Conti's Rocky Overture. Enjoy.
Thank you.
That's music from the Rocky series, written by Bill Conti. Do hope you enjoyed that overture. Next up, another iconic Conti score. This one written for the inspirational sports drama The Karate Kid. Take a listen. Thank you. That's music from The Karate Kid, written by Bill Conti, as is all the music we're featuring on today's program. Next up, we go to a movie from 1978, a film starring Jill Klaber, Alan Bates, and Michael Murphy, entitled An Unmarried Woman, featuring this lovely score.
Thank you.
typically tuneful stuff from Bill Conti for an unmarried woman. Moving along to something big, brassy, and appropriately triumphant, here's his score for The Right Stuff. Thank you. music from The Right Stuff by Bill Conti. Do hope you enjoyed that. You're listening to The Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDverdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas, and of course we are spotlighting the music of Mr. Bill Conti on the program today. Next up, for something completely different, we move to a jazz-based score and a rather fine effort for a movie called Uncle Joe Shannon. Take a listen.
Thank you.
Jazzy stuff from Uncle Joe Shannon, written by Bill Conti. Conti, of course, no stranger to cheesy music. Some of the stuff we featured on the program thus far might be described as being kind of endearingly cheesy. And we continue with another piece in that vein, his theme from the television show Dynasty. Theme from Dynasty by Bill Conti. Next up, a score which has an intriguing sound. It's for a movie called Blood In, Blood Out. The film is set in the early 1970s and focuses on the story of some Latino gang members. But it has the feel, musically, of a spaghetti western at times, even though there's also a bit of a Latino vibe present. Take a listen. All right, that's music from Blood In, Blood Out by Bill Conti. Next up, we have some music from a film starring Sylvester Stallone, Michael Caine, and Pelé, a soccer movie and prison movie wrapped into one, called Escape to Victory. Let's take a listen now to some of Bill Conti's score, very much informed by Elmer Bernstein's work on The Great Escape. Music from Escape to Victory, written by Bill Conti. Certainly do hope that you enjoyed that. Now time to move along to the review portion of the program. We'll begin with a look at some recently released DVDs and Blu-rays. A couple of major superhero flicks have just hit home video, and both are flawed but engaging experiences. The more consistent of the pair is Thor, starring Chris Hemsworth as the Norse god of thunder. Many wondered whether director Kenneth Branagh would take a more classical approach to the Thor mythology or focus on bringing the character into the modern world. The answer is both, and Thor proves equally satisfying as a semi-Shakespearean drama of epic proportions and as a gently comic fish-out-of-water tale. Hemsworth handles the title role quite well, handling the stormy drama and the goofier moments with ease, though the scene stealers are Anthony Hopkins as Odin and especially Tom Hiddleston as the disgruntled Loki. To be sure, it's basically a 2-hour commercial for the forthcoming Avengers crossover event, but it handles that task in a surprisingly satisfactory manner. Additionally, its unusual structural approach is refreshing in a summer which has otherwise stuck to a more traditional origin story format. Speaking of which, Matthew Vaughn's X-Men First Class jumps back to the 1960s to tell the story of how Charles Xavier's Band of Mutants was formed. I enjoyed the film a little more the second time around, as there are admittedly a lot of things to admire. Vaughn's brisk direction, level of energy previously absent in the franchise, the delightfully scuzzy villain played by Kevin Bacon, and particularly the chemistry between James McAvoy's Professor X and Michael Fassbender's Magneto. However, none of that is enough to disguise the fact that X-Men First Class feels like a first draft of a movie, as the film stumbles over some very weak dialogue scenes, some most unfortunate anachronisms, and some very awkward staging of key moments. The final 15 minutes or so should have felt powerful, but instead they just seem clumsy. I really do hope we get a sequel, as there's so much potential in this particular incarnation of the franchise. But I hope that next time Matthew Vaughn is given the time he needs to make his film as tight as it needs to be. Moving along to smaller releases, the spare western Meek's Cutoff has just been released. It's a slow, quiet film, beautifully shot in full frame, and sporting wonderfully understated performances from a fine ensemble cast including Michelle Williams, Bruce Greenwood, and Paul Dano. The film tells the story of a group of pioneers who lose their way on the Oregon Trail and soon begin to debate whether or not their guide, played by Greenwood, has led them astray. Though there's a good deal of tension, this is an immensely naturalistic film which never dips into sensationalism. The relaxed pace adds to the very immersive atmosphere. After a while, you feel as if you've been on a long, exhausting journey with the characters. The ending may strike some as exasperatingly enigmatic, but it strikes just the right concluding note for this richly crafted effort. One release every movie buff should own is the new Blu-ray release of Orson Welles' masterpiece Citizen Kane. This magnificent film looks better than ever before in high def, spotlighting Greg Toland's remarkable cinematography to a degree those who haven't seen the film in a theater have never been able to experience. 70 years after its initial release, the movie still holds up remarkably well and continues to make a strong case for the notion that it's one of the greatest films of all time. The Blu-ray set comes with a whole host of special features well worth your time, including audio commentaries with Roger Ebert and Peter Bogdanovich, the feature-length documentary The Battle Over Citizen Kane, and the HBO feature film RKO 281. I can't recommend this collection highly enough. Another older release making its way to Blu-ray is Wes Craven's The Hills Have Eyes. Those only familiar with Craven's recent work may be startled by the terrifying savagery in this early effort, a gritty, low-budget affair which digs into some intensely bleak territory. It's not always easy to watch, but it's arguably the most consistently impressive horror effort of the director's career, a movie which blends the raw terror of The Last House on the Left with the more assured directorial control of his later efforts. The film's saga of an ordinary family's attempt to fight off a group of crazed mutant hillbillies might sound like typical B-movie fare, but Craven uses the story as a springboard to explore the violence lurking within humanity's soul. The Blu-ray doesn't look or sound great, but then the film itself never has. Moving along to this week's theatrical release, Nicholas Winding Refn's thriller Drive often plays like the best film Michael Mann never made. A fascinating mood piece, lovingly coated in striking nightscapes, hypnotic synthetic music, and long, aching shots which could seemingly go on forever. It's also a tightly constructed thriller, boasting a plot which moves with clockwork precision and never spends a moment longer than it needs to on any given scene. Those descriptions may sound contradictory, but it works. Think of the way Mann's Collateral gave its characters time to breathe while simultaneously escalating the level of tension. A key difference in this case is that Refn actually manages to deliver a satisfying conclusion to the absorbing ride. The story concerns a young man simply known as Driver, played by Ryan Gosling, who works as a movie stunt driver during the day and occasionally lends his services to sordid characters by night. Alas, one day he winds up getting involved in the wrong heist, putting both himself and the woman he cares about, played by Carey Mulligan, in grave danger. Gosling is immensely effective as a present-day man-with-no-name figure, though he seems sweeter, more vulnerable, and more dangerous than the Eastwood character because the film pushes him into intensely emotional territory, which is well outside his comfort zone. Gosling has demonstrated repeatedly that he's a fine actor, but never before has he demonstrated such commanding screen presence. The supporting cast is superb from top to bottom. Carey Mulligan brings a considerable measure of emotional heft to her quiet role. Ron Perlman is enjoyably nasty as a brutish thug. Bryan Cranston is affectingly sweet as Driver's fretful friend and mentor, while Oscar Isaac does nice work as a character who sidesteps our expectations. The highlight of the bunch is Albert Brooks, who channels his distinctive neurotic energy into something much nastier in this film, offering a slyly terrifying commentary on the cutthroat instincts of Hollywood producers, only this time throats are actually cut. This is a nail-biting piece of modern noir which is marvelous to behold. Its atmosphere is so rich that one may very well feel compelled to jump back in for a second viewing shortly afterwards. Drive is the coolest movie of the year, and also one of the best. I give it a rating of 4 stars out of 4. And that concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you've enjoyed the show and that you'll tune in again next week for more music and movie reviews. We conclude with a unique, let's call it a treat of sorts, as Mr. Sylvester Stallone serenades you with this tune from Paradise Alley. Have a great week, everyone. Back at you later.
Sometimes the difference is too hard to tell. But then, deep I guess, an old worn-out thief. They say you feel them by right in your dreams. And I'm sun shines all night, and maybe I'm crazy believing that stuff. But if this is it, well, it's not enough. Sometimes the difference